Thank you. So it's good to be back. I was gone last week. I was speaking at Unity of Fairfax in Virginia, which is a church of about 300. I was a member there when I was working as a reporter in D.C. Fairfax is about 30 minutes off Capitol Hill. There are only about 10 people in that church that I still know, but they showed up, and it was great to see them. There was a little dinner party Saturday night, and I made a new friend that I want to bring here. Russell Highland is their new minister. He's been there about a year. I loved him. I want him to speak here. They love him. He's very happy there. And we agreed over dinner that we hesitate to describe our churches to other ministers because it just sounds like bragging. And actually, it's from Russell that I borrowed this idea for a series called Sacred Texts. The word text does not mean what it used to. A sacred text used to mean some kind of tome, something spiritual, a precious book, scripture, maybe even the word of God. Now it's a verb. We text all the time. We've learned how to type with our thumbs, some of us. I learned how to dictate into my phone. And I'm not sure that our texts aren't spiritual and precious as well. You're not going to hear me criticize social media and how it's destroying relationships. I am in much closer touch with a lot more people because of social media, friends from school and from previous jobs that I would never contact otherwise. And I've seen pictures of their kids and their grandchildren. In fact, Buddy and Holly Wilson, who used to be in this church, did you see the pictures this weekend of their first grandchild? A little girl, their daughter Summer, had a baby. I love knowing that stuff. So Facebook, Twitter, email, and texts, we communicate a line or two at a time, and that's often enough to keep in touch. If you have children or grandchildren, you probably know how to text. Where are you? When will you be home? Or how are you feeling? We use them at work. What time is the meeting? And we use them a lot to say, I'm running late. So here's a story. I was supposed to meet a friend for lunch, and she will remain nameless because she might or might not be in the room right now. Anyway, we got our wires crossed, and we ended up not only at different restaurants, but in different towns. And as it happened, we had both forgotten our phones that day. And we were absolutely lost. I didn't know where she was. I couldn't tell her where I was. It was hours before we both got back home and straightened out what had happened. That was not a major crisis. I just realized how dependent I have become on instant, constant communication, sacred texts. And texting has given us a new vocabulary made of abbreviations for the phrases we use most often, and it's really interesting what those are. OMG! Apparently, we express amazement often with, oh my God! We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. BFF, best friends forever, is a term of endearment. That's next week. We'll talk about the benefits of friendship. And today is LOL, laughing out loud. Apparently, we send each other a lot of funny texts because we quickly developed an abbreviation to say, I'm laughing. There are variations, you know, like LMAO, laughing my A off, or ROFL LMAO, which is rolling on the floor, laughing my you-know-what off. We must really be entertaining each other through the satellite airwaves. And actually, laughter might be the greatest gift you can give. Even the briefest internet search turns up reasons to be laughing. 7 health benefits of laughter, 8 benefits of laughter, 10 reasons laughing is good for you. One of the reasons I wanted to do this series, I might have told you this before, but I just feel like I've been doing these long, serious, heavy talks this year. We've covered the book of Revelation. We started the year with Revelation. And there's been a lot of Bible and prayer and spiritual principle, and I'm ready to just lighten up and feel good. And we need that as human beings. The idea that laughter is medically beneficial seems to have started, or at least was popularized, by Norman Cousins, who was a lot of things. He was a peace activist, he was a journalist, longtime editor of the Saturday Review. And he was always interested in emotions and healing. So he used laughter and vitamin C to heal his own heart disease years before he wrote his best-known book called Anatomy of an Illness. In that book, he told about suffering from severe arthritis. He was always in pain. So he watched the Marx Brothers and old episodes of Candid Camera. And he said 10 minutes of laughter allowed him 2 hours of pain-free sleep. That's when the public got that laughter is good for your health. Physically, laughter has a lot in common with exercise. It strengthens the immune system, it boosts energy, it increases the blood flow to the heart, it diminishes pain, it eases stress. One of the pioneers in laughter research, named William Fry, said it took him 10 minutes on a rowing machine to get his heart rate up to the same level it was after just 1 minute of laughing. And it burns calories. Not a lot. But 10 to 15 minutes of laughing burns 50 calories. Mentally, laughter releases endorphins in your brain so you feel good. It increases creativity and problem solving. Laughter increases self-esteem and resilience, increases hope and optimism. It eases anxiety. Even Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said 100 years ago, "We erase fear with laughter." Socially, laughter binds people together. Haven't you been in a room where the mood was tense and somebody blessedly said something funny and everybody laughs? Too much, really. Part of it's just the relief, getting the tension out. Or you've been to a party where you laugh so hard with a group of people, and after that you just feel closer to them. Teams that laugh together perform better at work. Laughter strengthens relationships. It makes marriages stronger if you laugh together. So if you're dating someone, just notice whether you laugh at the same things. Laughter makes you more attractive to others, even sexier, according to PBS. And what? Just talk among yourselves. It works even if you're faking it. You can smile if you don't feel like it, and just by rearranging the muscles of your face into a smile, the feelings follow. You can fake it till you make it with laughter, and eventually you're really laughing. There's something called laughter yoga. It's a combination of laughing and clapping and breathing. I'm not going to demonstrate. I'm not an expert, but the American School of Laughter Yoga promises in its laughter wellness program, you don't have to be happy. We do not rely on jokes or comedy. And their laughter session planner has 1,001 exercises for laughing. Standing or rolling on the floor, clapping, dancing, singing, playing, all while laughing. It starts out fake and it turns real. Laughter Yoga International, which is another group, reports 6,000 laughter clubs worldwide. It sponsors World Laughter Day, which was May 4th this year. Were you laughing? They call it a health and fitness craze. And I looked at some of their videos online, and craze would be the operative word. Unity has broken free of the idea that church needs to be serious and God is no fun. But did some of you grow up with that? Religion has a reputation for being pretty grim. But humans have always known better. And spiritual people have talked about the benefits of laughter. The theologian Karl Barth said, "Laughter is the closest thing to the grace of God." Viktor Frankl, who had every reason to be grim after he survived a concentration camp, said, "Humor, more than anything else, helps us rise above any situation, if only for a few seconds." You've seen the Dalai Lama giggling? He seems to be in on some cosmic joke. Joel Osteen starts all his sermons with a joke. He knows laughter makes people more receptive. And the Baal Shem Tov said, humor is that thing that ushers a person's mind from a place of constricted consciousness to a place of expanded consciousness. That's what we're going for, expanded consciousness. Humans have always known laughter benefits us. We've had jesters and clowns and comedians, and we love them. That's why we're mourning Robin Williams. He made us laugh. As far as we know, humans are the only animal that laughs. It starts with babies. We get the joke. Irony, sarcasm, slapstick. We see the ridiculousness of life sometimes. But laughter is also part of our divine expression. A real belly laugh is egoless. You forget about the past or future. You forget what you look like. When you're really, really amused, you are completely in the moment expressing yourself. LOL. Rolling on the floor, laughing out loud. Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, which turned out to be literally true. Jesus had a sense of humor. Even Billy Graham thinks Jesus had a sense of humor. As do many clerics and scholars. For instance, Jesus gave people nicknames. Some were kind of serious, like calling Simon Peter. Peter means the rock, even though Peter's faith was not always rock-like. So calling him Peter had some irony in it. But there was one day when Jesus had a run-in with the Pharisees, and two other disciples, James and John, said, we should call down fire from heaven to punish them. And Jesus said, no, that's not how we roll. And ever after that, he called James and John the sons of thunder. We miss out on Jesus' humor partly because what was funny in that time and place may not be now. Partly because he used plays on words in Aramaic that don't translate into English. And partly because it's just too familiar. We've heard it so many times. When Jesus said, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own? That's funny. When he said, turn the other cheek, and if an evil person takes your coat, give him your cloak also, the people of that time knew that would leave you standing there naked, which would serve the evil person right. Jesus was criticized for not being as serious as John the Baptist, who lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and honey. Jesus said all he did was eat and drink like a normal person, and they called him a glutton and a drunkard. The hyperbole in his parables and sayings was funny, with memorable exaggeration. With the faith of a tiny mustard seed, you can move mountains. Don't cast your pearls before swine. That's funny. Don't build your house on sand. Those were ridiculous images to the people at the time, and it was funny. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is such a vivid image. We remember it 2,000 years later. Even people who don't know much about Jesus know that one. So I think we have permission to laugh as spiritual beings. I think it should be one of our 12 powers. You know, these quilts represent our divine qualities. Maybe zeal includes laughter, or maybe life includes laughter. I mean, obviously, living includes laughter, but so does dying. And I get in trouble sometimes because I forget that other churches don't include laughter in their funerals. Once I officiated at a funeral at Highland Park Methodist Church in Dallas, which is just as high church as it sounds. The congregation is not only serious, they are wealthy and serious. You know what I mean, Judy. This is Dallas old money. And I tried to tell some lighthearted stories about the woman who had died, and they just stared at me. In Unity, we call it a celebration of life. We tell stories about the person who's passed, and often we end up laughing. It's like a wake, except we're sober. Actually, we don't have breathalyzers, who knows? But the last memorial service I attended was for Nancy Keefe, who used to sit right here on the second row. And we told stories, and some of them were funny. And wouldn't she want them to be? Nancy was a hoot. So if you all laugh at my funeral, that's fine with me. Laughter is good for your hearts. It eases pain. It makes you sexy. I invite you this week to look for opportunities to laugh. Watch a movie, read the comics, play with a puppy, whatever you think is funny. Knock-knock jokes, whatever. Where is the laughter in your life? Where is the humor in your life story, even if it wasn't funny at the time? We talk so much about our issues and baggage. What were the fun parts, the funny parts? If you get a chance today, just share one story with someone about something funny from your past. And remember, that's as much a part of who you are as any damaging things that happened. You know how they say children laugh a lot more than adults do? Turns out that's not necessarily true, except that children are with other people most of the time, and we laugh when we're with each other. If you're sitting alone at your computer, you're less likely to laugh, unless you get a sacred text. And LOL, sitting alone and laughing out loud has to be a divine moment. Wherever we are, God is, and the joy of the Lord is present. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. Most of our meditations are quiet and feel really sacred. But don't you think today we should just laugh? I mean, I'm asking because I've really thought twice about this. But I want to show you how you can make it happen. So, what kind of music are you going to play for this? Why don't you stand up for this? And we might need some lights, because watching each other is funny too. Okay, so you start simple. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Put some movement into it. Wow. Look around. Wow. Okay. Does your jaw kind of hurt? But do you feel better? Energized, blood flow to your heart, feeling sexy? Okay. Amen. Sit down.